There's no doubt that we have had some inspiration this morning, and whoever has met with Jim over these last few weeks have affirmed this very fact. But this afternoon, on behalf of the present and the future, we are really going to spend some very precious hours together. And I'm thinking of two things. The sheep. Jesus often used the sheep as illustration. The whole scripture. We see the emphasis on the work of the shepherd and of the place of the sheep. But this afternoon, it's as though we who are part of the flock, we've been so well fed, and if you could do it with pressure, you are woolly and fluffy. You are just ready to be shorn. I have a feeling that some people love to be Jesus' sheep, but they don't like to be shorn. They really do lap up the inspiration. But there is a cold world that needs the wool off our backs. You get that? And we want what we have to give it away. That wool will grow again. The other thought, that if we are part of the vine, that main stem being Jesus and we are the branches, there is a real reason why those branches should flourish. And that is that there should be fruit. And I want to see, as it were, our Lord coming today and taking our fruit and crushing the grapes and filling the glass with that pure juice, because there's a thirsty world that needs that kind of drink. It's as precious to me as that, what you and I are going to do here today, this afternoon and tonight. We hope that by the 9:30 this evening, we will have as clearly defined as possible the goals that we can immediately commit ourselves to, structured in the future that is realistic to us. And as we offer this, the result of our consultation, back to the church and through the church to the community, specifically where handicapped persons are, I think that we will see that what we do today under the Spirit of God will be wool and drink, clothing and thirst being quenched. So it's as high as that as we now give ourselves to this task. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we were reminded this morning of this most precious gift that you have given us, the gift of being messenger bearers. We thank you that you have chosen us with all mankind as your hope, as resources of your word and gospel, for a world over which you have wept, for which you have shed your blood, and for which your loving heart continues to beat. May we sense the high privilege to which you call us this day as we open our minds so that we can clearly give ourselves to each other, listening and imparting, so that that which we present this evening will be the very best, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now this will be the procedure. The concepts that Jim gave us last night as suggestions will be very important to us. They'll be like our coat hangers, and we'll bring them out in a little while. But we want you as persons to get into small groups of threes and fours, and you can just do that, and threes and fours. And we want you to put down all the things that you think that we should be about in working with handicapped persons, with the backdrop, the conception of Christian education and Christian fellowship. So it won't matter how futuristic or how present. Now, have you got that? You're just going to really, it might be that you're going to suggest what we should do, but it may be what you are thinking, what you'd like to do. So we want to get all those dreams and schemes down on paper. Then we'll put them all up. We'll just get the groups to report back. And then when we've got the groups up, we'll ask two key people to get up here with coloured chalk, and we'll make the decision together where number one is. We will look through that vast list and we will say all the things that could be grouped with that number one. And if number two is vacant, we'll go through and group that. And then we'll tell you what else we'll do. But we hope you're going to feel that it's what we have done together this afternoon. So into your small groups, what can we do? Hear the reports back as quickly as possible. So you've appointed your spokesperson, and we'll just ask from group to group. Just before we do, Des and Dorothy have shown me this tape from the Logan Parish Uniting Church, and they had a home care seminar. And on that tape is a very special message from a mother of a multi-handicapped person and what it's really meant to her, and it's recommended as a very exciting tape. So I'm just telling you about that. Righto, let's start over here with this group. I think if you just tell us one thing at a time, each group, then will you please just cross out if what has been said has been said. Okay? So don't gammon that your idea is really new when it's been up there. You make the judgment. Righto, Jim, please.
The church...
Oh, I see, yes. I'm sorry, that's what you were talking about. So will you cut that one?
The church made aware of the problems or attitudes to receive handicapped persons into the congregation. Then the preparation of the family, assuring them of their loving care and acceptance on an equal basis. There is more to come.
Can I suggest that when anyone is speaking, if they're able to stand up, that they stand up and face
yes. the group. Yes, I think that'll be a good idea. But I'm just wondering if, you see, what we're going to try and do there, we're going to try and pray-see if it's a long statement like that. We've got to get it down to a few words. So I think, Jim, if you do just stand up and say that again, Lenny's heard some of that. Take it a little slower because she's going to try and put that down into a few words.
You want me to talk that way?
Yes, that away. No. To the group.
To the people. Person to person.
Except that when they're right around there, you see, that's going to take a lot of time.
Right. Our group came up with this. The church made aware of the problems or attitudes to receive handicapped persons into the congregation. Then the preparation of the family, assuring them of their loving care and acceptance on an equal basis.
Is it possible to get more than one point out of that?
Yes, I think so. Yes, family problems. You know, we've got to educate the church re-attitudes, is it?
That's right, yeah, problems are over. The church made aware of the problems or attitudes to receive handicapped.
It's church made education of local church congregation. I think that's what you're saying. Education of local congregation. Re. Attitudinal changes needed. Now, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Three. Attitudinal. I-O-N-A-L. Attitudinal changes needed.
That's worse than a four-letter word, isn't
it? Do you want to put changes of attitude? That'll do. We'll fix it up. Put one beside it. Yes, now the next one, I think we put re-family because, now what was the next thing?
Then the preparation of the family, assuring them of their loving care and acceptance on an equal basis.
Family preparation.
Do you family preparation sufficient? And acceptance. You see, I think they're saying we go out and prepare the family, but also that they're really accepted. Yeah, but that becomes two. To cross out this family prep and acceptance. Are you happy about that?
Yep.
Righto, that's yours. That's
well,
good. Yeah, got more, lots more. We'll come back to you. Righto, the next group here, please. Can the person who's the recorder?
Christian education in special schools, adult workshops, and
Christian ed.
schools?
Yes.
Workshops and activity therapy centres. Is that what you call them?
Yes. Yeah. Workshops? No, the whole lot. And activity therapy centres. That's ATC we often put there for that. Okay, happy about that?
Yep.
I suppose when the report goes out, we'll fill it out. Right, the next group, please. Would you just follow through as you see one person going back? You just come on out.
Well, we've headed this access, and we've said access to the gospel. Access so people can have a relationship with Christ? Is that the same thing?
No. Well, is it to respond? If it's access to the gospel, is that the proclamation and you're wanting their response?
Perhaps if I read the... I'll read the rest of it, huh? Access to life of church.
Oh, that's clear.
Mm-hmm. Access to nurture of church.
Yeah.
Access to ministry within the church.
Now, you must have had reasons why you pulled out and tried to hold up a diamond with various facets. We leave it there and we see what we all do with it.
Yeah, might I suggest that leave a space under access, because I'm sure that there'll be other groups that will come along with something else to add.
Good. Righto. Next group, please.
Make our ministers aware...
Just a minute. Just a minute, please. That's all right.
Make our ministers aware that there are people with handicaps in our community and they should be included in our ministry.
Now, could you just say that ministers are... Righto. I didn't just hear that. So
speak a bit louder and a bit slower. Probably
a little closer, Lily.
Make our ministers aware that there are people with handicaps in our community and they should be included in our ministry.
Yes. Good. Yes, it could be, and we'll group. That's where the grouping comes. Righto. This one here, will you? I think this has more sound, doesn't it? Each one.
We comment on to educate the average parishioner, particularly in relation to Jim's reference to the 85% that are capable of learning about Christ, but how many of our people know that?
Educate parishioners. You did say re-handicapping population, didn't you? Especially those.
Yes.
Yeah. Educate parishioners, persons with handicapping conditions. But especially.
I believe the crossroads constitute at the moment there's a provision that at least one handicapped person should be involved in a local committee. Is that right? We felt that was extremely important, and that the involvement should not just be in a crossroad committee, but wherever possible that a disabled person should be involved in any committee of that local church. And that it was terribly important that a disabled member should be a representative, because they know truly what they need and how they feel.
So you're saying you're really alerting the crossroads branches and commission to look again at their constitution, see if that's allowed, but you're also asking for the general church body.
Well, for the general church body to realise their abilities,
yes,
and that they are capable of being involved in various committees.
Yes.
And should be respected in that way.
Good. I'm hoping that the model that has been before our eyes here this weekend will help a local church to see the contribution that everyone can make. I think and especially the 85% and in brackets, educable, E-D-U-C-A-B-L. Well, that's it. Yeah.
We felt that enablers should be encouraged to sort of adopt a certain crossroader and follow that through, not only for fellowship nights but for support for the family and including them in outings with their family and that kind of thing, to increase the total looking after the needs of the person.
Good. Thank you. I think that word adopt covers it, does it?
Yeah, sort of.
Do you want anything more? Good, it'll come up.
While our group talked about a number of things, perhaps it said first up two things of importance. The need for a national organisation for crossroads with national and state directors. And the second thing it wanted to say, which is goes on from that, international recognition and registration of crossroads.
And I think the state director is there. Righto. Next one. Yes, please, Sarah.
With the accent that we have on normalisation program, there seems to be a concern about at what standard a person has to be in independence to get into independent living, and it was considered that there could be a coordinating body that would sort of look into this and look into family support and try and tie the two together.
Now don't go away, Sarah, we'll just try and... Now are you focusing on crossroads there or the church?
Well, crossroads would probably be the spokesman, right, because they're the person concerned with this.
So it's looking at... Just say that again so we can all...
Well, the basic concern was that there seemed to be a number of people that are going into independent living for different circumstances that mightn't quite be ready for it, and sometimes there's a sense of failure there, and that in fact parents are concerned about this and yet they want their children in independent living, and we were wondering if there could be some coordinating body that would give family support, perhaps counselling in this area, and maybe... get together with a mutual concern for the independence of their children.
You're saying a very important thing. It's something on community even there that some of us are dreaming about. So your first point, re-independent living, I think you're saying coordinating. So you're asking a Christian body to do some coordinating.
Yes.
Are you saying that we're to try and listen very carefully to the professional group and to the family group in the securing for these people? Is that what you're...
Well, within the government body, right, they have a family education unit.
Yes.
Now, that seems to cover something, but it doesn't seem to pull it all together for parents who are concerned about their children and perhaps facilitate something that would help them.
Righto. Counselling, coordinating, securing family. Well, that's...
Yes, sort of... Families grouping together, perhaps. Families grouping together that could...
And
mutual
that,
support.
Is that, is it the families of the handicapped people that are into little communities, or is it the family like us who have let outside go?
Maybe the family like you and other families in your situation are concerned about their child being independent.
Good.
But not thrown into the community.
Yeah. Family support. Now, are you happy with that? Re-independent living. Counselling, coordinating, securing... and family support.
Yeah, it's sort of the grouping of the family together, perhaps.
Oh.
The grouping of concerned families.
Yeah, put that. Instead of support, grouping of families concerned.
Sort of self...
Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Develop more of an awareness of the handicapped people to the public, so after this year, being the International Year of the Disabled, that their awareness continues.
Is it the benefits of the raised awareness be continued?
Yes.
The benefits of the raised awareness, and I think you've really hit a really good point there. Of the raised awareness be continued.
Training for clergy in handling and counselling handicapped persons.
I think that's clear. Hey, come on. Put a bit more what it is. There are two key words there that you said. Counselling.
Handling and counselling.
Yeah, well, I think you're saying counselling, I'm clear with. Handling. I think I know what you mean, but...
Well,
it's a minute...
In situation...
Yeah.
You probably need a better word than that. That'll be for
trouble. Relating.
Keep saying relating. Yes, I think you're not going to... I don't think they're going to hear us if we leave that word in, and yet I want your thoughts. Relating and re-relating and counselling with handicapped persons. Now, someone said, what about laymen? Well, that'll very likely come up. You see, when we've finished all this and we miss anything, you're going to have a little bit of a brainstorm. So don't think you're going to miss. And, you know, you can start writing down again if you thought that someone is missing. Righto, someone with pen.
We see that we have a responsibility to challenge the church in regard to its attitudes to handicapped people, but we expect then that it will revitalise its total ministry because of the attitude change
towards
persons.
So, what do we say that in now? I wonder if you put the challenge to the church. Now, what do you want there? Is. We've seen attitudes. Can you look back onto that one? Education of local congregations, re-attitudinal changes needed. Now, I think you've added something. I think you've said, and the benefits of what's happening there will be for the whole church.
Yeah.
Can we put that up there?
Yeah. But just make it one. The challenge to the church.
Can you say the benefits of the... of the attitudinal changes will be for the whole church.
Yeah.
Is that, are you happy about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what we'll come back to that. Benefits of attitudinal changes will be for the whole church. I think it's more than the whole church, it'll be our attitudes to the whole persons, won't it?
That's right.
Attitudinal change, benefits of attitudinal changes will be for all persons.
Yeah. Will be a challenge. You put the word challenge, it needs to be...
Benefits of attitudinal change will be a challenge for all persons.
Right.
All right?
We were particularly concerned about the comments of, you must have a special ability to work with handicapped people. And we want to get that attitude changed.
Jim has a very good illustration here. He says, you know, someone will say... Oh, you'll get stars in your crown. He says, and I don't even like wearing a hat.
We talked about Christian education too, but with regard to the fact that the disabled so very much want to be part of worship, we had a thing on this access... with regard to church furniture, what we use it for, with special regard to the disabled. And Peter had a thing about most sanctuaries have feet or steps, which if disabled people are actively involved in worship, finds difficult to negotiate those steps.
So we've got re-church furnishings, but also I think you had explanation of what it's all about. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Right. Did you want to add something more to that?
I was just looking to see what else that people said.
I think she really said re-evaluation of what church matters about rather than explanation.
Yes, I think that was the understanding, Glenn.
We'll put re-evaluation. I think that'll be really good. It'll help us to work out why we do all sorts of things, won't it?
Church
furniture, re-evaluation. I think it was re-evaluation of church furniture. That was one, wasn't it?
It is a church.
And structural changes.
And then structural changes. Do you want to say within and without? Because, you know, those three steps up to the centre is also...
Yes, it was particularly within.
Yes.
It was concerning.
Righto. Well, let's just put the within. Someone else will bring that up. So are you happy about this? Church furniture re-evaluation of... Oh, yeah, that. And then access structural changes within.
Yeah, that's covered.
All right, thank you.
There were a couple of suggestions that I should give here. That a suggestion that the Crossroads groups might care to take as a project the access to the building at Munro Street.
Great. This is the Crossroads Queensland or something.
Yes.
Or Crossroads Australia. It's the headquarters of the whole show. International, everybody. Crossroads branch is, was it Crossroads, Crossroaders, I think we'll just put A, have as a project accessibility, you mean to the total building.
Yes.
You know that we have got it, but it's upstairs.
Yes.
Have we got any engineers among us? We're looking for the gift of an engineer to show us how to get a lift in there very simply. Someone suggested water pressure, just a simple little lift. And Binger, he's got his mind ticking. Have you heard about PAD?
Yes, yes.
Have we,
what about
just,
what about hot air? Couldn't we do
I reckon there's going to be plenty of lifts in South Australia.
Who else? Everybody, no one else wants to tell us their jokes. Oh, right, back to this bit, please, Jimmy. Jim. Jim. Come on, Sam.
Oh. Wonder why I wanted him to get up. No, I just think, I thought that we may have covered it. We also come up, look past their handicap and look upon them as a person. This is the handicapped people. We, the handicapped, have the same spiritual need and problems as anyone else. Therefore, we don't necessarily need the special consideration in the service, but want to be recognised as one of the congregation.
Now, you know, if I put discover the person, you may not feel that that's sufficient. But I think that's what you're asking us to be careful about. Look at the person and not the problem. You know, what do you want of all that? So, would you say that what you said is covered what Jim said? Now, is Jim feeling that it's covered?
Would Jim just repeat that again, Ed?
Yeah, okay. Look past their handicap and look upon them as a person. We, the handicapped, have the same spiritual need and problems as anyone else. Therefore, we don't necessarily need the special consideration in the service, but want to be recognised as one of the congregation.
Well, can we add one little line under that access? See that it is access for persons.
For all persons.
I mean, there's your... Yeah. Right at the bottom it comes, then. For all persons, and then we're not discriminating. Righto. Thanks, Jim. Yes. Now, have we covered that in those sort of individual needs, the signer and the rails and things like that?
No, more. There's a lot more to go in that. We want to
cover equipment. Will we say access... Well, you think about what you want when we get back to your little group.
I was just going to say, mention some of those things that we discussed. Encouraging churches to fit hearing aid loops for the elderly people who have failing vision, large print Bibles and hymn books, and signs about access where the main entrance has got steps.
Induction lifts for
to enable people to hear directly off the loop. You don't need the phrase hearing aid, it's actually the correct term is induction loop.
Induction loop.
So you can hear.
Now, do you all understand, Gordon, just tell us what that's all about, because I don't think every one of us would understand that. You know, we go into churches and we see these sort of things and we know people can plug into hearing aids.
No.
So what is it?
The old idea, still in some churches, is that there, in the public address system, that there are sort of hand aids that you can pick up. They were usually along one wall or both walls. But the modern system of doing this, that anyone with a hearing aid that has a T switch on it, it's marked usually T, or that means telephone switch, which you can use to advantage with your own telephone that I can speak about some other time, but for this purpose, if the church or hall or meeting place is wired so that you have simply from the amplifier cable going around the, say, the church, it can be under the carpet, preferably it is along about where we used to put a rail along for the seats to go against, you know, about so high around. It can be around the skirting, but it's better to be around that high, or it can even be up at this ceiling height. But it goes right around the room, usually right around the church if possible, because that means that families can sit anywhere as a family rather than being isolated. And it goes right back to the amplifier again. That's the simple explanation of it. And it means that you listen in through your hearing aid directly from that loop, not off the loudspeakers or the sound columns that may be there for other people to hear. Get the idea?
Yes.
And now, if you have a hearing loss and you do not have a hearing aid, it is possible to get, for a small sum of money, I'm not sure of exact the retail price, but I think that the price without sales tax is just over about $22, I think was the latest price, of one cordless headphone that's available. I'm not here to advertise any firm, but I do know that Telex make a cordless headphone with a volume control on it. It has a dry battery inside. You have to be careful you switch it off when not in use, because otherwise the battery will go flat. But you can sit there with this cordless headphone on and you can listen in with directly off the loop, even if you haven't got a hearing aid. Now, this is of tremendous importance. I would like to see every church hall, every public building, every new hotel and motel that's being built where they have conferences or seminars or anything of like that, every school that has an assembly hall, so that they would all have an induction loop so that everyone would have access to what is being said.
Good.
Do you have to plug in on the wire?
No, you don't plug in on any wire at all. Yes?
Could I just add to that? There's another thing, it's like a little stethoscope that hangs around the neck that has the battery, and also,
yes,
for the same, it's like a sound field.
Yes.
You're sitting within that field, it will pick up the sound. And this can also be the same fitting, that loop can be plugged into movie projectors and to...
yes, and to TV sets.
Yes,
and you can get recorded. Yes, you can get an individual loop. Yes, I was hoping that I could bring along some of this equipment, but I couldn't. I had too much to bring with me to actually show you. But some other session, if there's a few minutes to spare, I'll give you some detailed information about telephones and so on that's of tremendous advantage. And I have some literature to give you for your office.
Well, thank you, Gordon. So you can see that if we put induction loops, that does cover, because if a person comes along with a hearing aid and the loop is in, that's there. It gives that ability to hear. If a person comes without a hearing aid and the church is facilitating it, the loop and the hearing aids are there. I don't want to take hearing aids out if we're unhappy about that, but I think, you know, you are educated very highly in that. We've got to send that back as a report to all the congregations. I think if we don't leave hearing, if we take hearing aids out, I think we've got to put beside induction loops something for all hearing impaired.
I would just mention that we have one representative from Victoria here, and I think that the Australian Association for Better Hearing, which has been a national body since 1946, has sent out from Victoria branch and from the Geelong branch, I think they've sent out circular letters to nearly all branches of the Christian Church in Victoria and to a lot of the public bodies, with regard to the advantages and the, some of the detailed requirements of induction loops. And I think that, you know, this is something that's new. Last week, I was approached by a man who's working full-time with the Public Buildings Department in South Australia in the interests of people with disabilities, and said, Gordon, there's a very powerful group committee in New South Wales that are coming up with amendments to the Australian Code on number 1428. This is a building code for the whole of Australia with regard to all details of buildings, inside of buildings and access to buildings and the whole bit. And he said they're trying to bulldoze their amendments through, and there's a great thick volume of it. He gave me a photocopy of it. I've got them with me. He said, please get back to me before I leave for Sydney. I saw him at 4:45 on Tuesday, and I caught a train at 7:10. I hadn't packed my bags and had to get home and get it, and I got on the train 1 minute before it pulled out of the station. But anyway, I gave him all the information I had. He said, this committee in New South Wales have given us nothing on hearing disabilities and sight disabilities. And he said, there's really nothing much in the code. And he said, please help me on this. Now, this is the sort of thing that's going on in Australia at the moment. And we either benefit or we suffer from what is taking place. So even as a Christian church and as Christian people, we have to be alert for a lot of things that can help us at the community and government level. And so it's not only just within the sort of four walls of the church building, if you can understand what I mean. Because I think we need to broaden our horizons and be involved in helping.
Ed, could I just, I don't want to come out, just so you can relate if you like. I've been to better hearing in Queensland now. I know what about that here. I haven't been for a long time now. But at Charlton Park, they have a group called Friends, and they have speakers there. They've had the speakers for the blind and for the hearing. These things are available here in Queensland if you know where.
Yeah, and I think what you're both saying is that we've really got to know the information. It's, you know, Jim said, it's to know the information and we'll be able to pray with our people a lot more sensitively.
That's right.
So we've spent time on this. I still feel that we've got to encourage churches for the hearing impaired, for example, induction loops, okay, for the hearing impaired. Now, I think we have got a lot more to do. You know, we can sort of, I tend in my own self to think, it's so big, I can only tackle a certain amount and not even be an enabler for that big area that I'm not able to cope with. So, it's not us being, it's not the individual, finally, that has to do it all. But listening to the specialists, opening them to the to our church's life, I think will... we will pick up lots and lots more people who are going to help this thing happen.
Just a very quick point on that. If any of you have anything to do with parish councils, councils of elders, or any church bodies, property committees, if they're just an observer this in your own churches or own groups in the community, and if there are a few thousand watts of light back there on the back of the head of the speaker and the face is in shadow, we'll get something done about it. See, that's terribly important, the light on the face. So if you're going to lip read, some people can only lip read, the national president of the Australian Association of Better Hearing, Roma Wood in Sydney, cannot hear anything. She's got no hearing. She's a marvellous lip speaker, and she can read speech on the lips. I rang her on STD the other day. Less in her business answers the phone, and Roma said, oh, I want to speak to Gordon. So she came and spoke to me. Then I responded to that, and the lass in her office just repeated this, not necessarily with voice at all, but she would read her lips, what she's saying, of what I was saying, and she'd repeat that, and then she'd read it on her lips, and then she'd come and talk to me again. That's how we carry on the conversation. But she can conduct a meeting like this with dignity and effectively. But that's what people can do if they can see the lips. And I'm not having a shot at any male here who has a beard. You can have a beard down to the ground as long as you don't trip over it. But please, and a lot of people in congregations go to their minister or their pastor or their priest. And they say, please, if I'm going to continue to worship God in this congregation, would you please just keep both lips free so that I can see them? If I can't see your lips, I can't read speech on your lips, I can't participate fully in the worship of God, I haven't got full access to the Christian gospel, and so would you please keep that just trimmed up? If you can still have a moustache, you can have the whole works.
That was really great. We have an apostle among us, and he has a ministry, I'm sure, that's deep in his heart. Thanks, sir.
Now, our second suggestion was short-term organisation of accommodation for the disabled, thus relieving parents or guardians. In other words, to give the parents or guardians a rest.
Great, thank you. Next one.
Chaplaincy to institutions. Chaplaincy to institutions with the idea of trying to provide Christian ideals and thoughts within the administration. So it's really liaison with the administration.
So it's chaplaincy to
institutions.
And was it to the personnel on the staff or the handicapped people?
No, the staff.
To the staff.
Yes.
Righto. You got that? Oh, thank you. 17. I just crossed it. Chaplaincy.
I wonder if it's got the lights to put on for the
Could someone find the lights, please, while I get here? It's chaplaincy. No, I haven't picked this up yet. It's chaplaincy to start. Now you read it, but my old eyes are bunk.
There's some other lights for the blackboard, I think.
Well, someone will do that while we're doing the sit, please.
Coming on.
I just want to, and let's hear this again because I don't think we've got it.
Chaplaincy to institutions for persons with handicap, with the idea of trying to provide Christian ideals and thoughts within the administration. So it's really liaison with the administration as well as the people within the institution.
Oh, is it chaplains to liaise? Between
with administration of the institutions. Yes,
that's good. Chaplains, it's chaplains to liaise. Yeah, chaplains to liaise with. Staff of institutions. Now, is that really, you're happy about that? Good. Yes.
The first one is a little relevant to our other one on educating parishioners. To get the message across to the parish people that we need to have a lot more participation by disabled people in worship services. And I'd like to add to that by encouraging involvement and forgiving our holier than thou attitude. We tend to put standards on
that. Participation in worship services.
By disabled people as well.
Yeah.
Forgiving our holier than thou attitude.
Now we've got that first part. What's the next one?
Forgetting our holy analogy.
Oh, well.
Right, yes.
Oh, I think so.
The second one is on access. How many of our church leaders have to be lifted off to enable our disabled people to leave us?
Everyone listen.
How many of our church roofs need to be lifted off to enable our disabled people's leader, as the story of the man that fell down to the roof to enable him to heal or crack?
Well, I think we've got that, haven't we? I mean, you've highly illustrated it, but I think it is there. Yes?
I just want to make a comment about, we've just carried out a survey in Western Australia where our church has a copy of it. And it's a known fact amongst churches that you don't get a very good response to surveys. And we've got 79 parishes and we've had 69 responses to that survey on access to buildings.
Yes. So I think that we should bring that. I think I'll pick this up from Lynn. Wait till I see what it goes. I think it was worth sending out that questionnaire. And I think we should say, look at Western Australia's Uniting Church's questionnaire, re-access to building, and we would be very happy to do that.
Yep.
Yep.
we had a motion on our
synod. Yeah, Gordon, look, I think we better keep going. And
just if you add two words.
Yeah.
Access to and within buildings.
Well, we have got that. Well, okay, access to and within. I think you would have had within, would you, Lynette? Good. Good. That's right. Yes, please.
We felt it important, too, to have the possibility of discussion time as soon as possible after the regular service, where disabled people can share companionship and discuss their feelings and interpretations of the service with time to get their point across and be heard. For example, people with speech disabilities, people often don't take the time to listen to them, and therefore they don't get the satisfaction and personal respect of being able to convey their own interpretations. I want to mention too that Des also mentioned to us about adoption programs and having people away for the weekend.
Right. I think introducing is picking that up. Time to listen. Time to discuss.
Yeah, well, to discuss their
that's right.
Of the service.
Yeah.
I mean, we find it important to express our interpretation of the service and what it means to us.
Yes.
But they don't get a chance to do that. And it's because they should be treated equally in that way. And if you have a separate time where they can do it, then people will take the time to give them a chance to say what they're trying to say.
But I think what I'm hearing what you're saying, but I'm saying that if we're trying to have this normalisation, we ought to be doing that for everyone. And if the church isn't doing it yet for the... I think you're saying they do it sometimes for the able-bodied and haven't for the handicapped. But if we just say, make sure it's done for the handicapped person, there are some church... That's right. No, but there's some churches that will get this report who haven't got it for the able-bodied.
Yeah, oh, well, okay. we should say have it for the able-bodied. Then
give time. Yes, I think
time
it's... I think if you put that, I think, and this connotation, that'll come out. Yes. Time to discuss and listen to each other for interpretation. Oh, well, that's okay.
That's
discussion after worship.
That's it.
Is that... You have about discussion after worship. Is that satisfactory? Was it not Rob?
James?
Are you satisfied with discussion after worship? I think that's going to raise the... It's going to alert us. Yes?
Mm-hmm. Just regarding children's crossroads, we thought one important area to go into would be preschool playgroups, because at the moment that's a new area and even government agencies aren't catering for that. With parents and preschool playgroups. And just relating to that, we need to be aware of other agencies within our community, because at this early stage, that's when, as someone was saying, with the coming to the minister or the church should be able to let parents know agencies around, and particularly other church agencies. You know, for instance, there might be a church that has a special ministry to shut-ins or something, and if you're short of people to go visiting, you need to know that so you can refer them over and all the churches can work together.
Good. A preschool playgroup, aware of other agencies, both government and church. We're excited in Melbourne where Jim and Barbara was there, weren't we? When we went to that preschool centre. And there was a young doctor, it was part of his part-time work, he was there, and he was then at the consultation, and that began us to dream some dreams. You must meet the parents' needs tremendously.
We spent some time talking around ministry to disabled people. The group I was in wanted to spell it out two aspects of it fairly specifically. First of all, the church needs to see its ministry to disabled people as part of its ordinary mission. It's part of its everyday function. And the other aspect of it is accepting perhaps the fact that it's already involved in this in different ways. The body of the church needs to see that its various ministries to disabled people are part of its total ministry. One person gave us an illustration of this, that there may be six different aspects of ministry to disabled: hearing impaired, speech impaired, physically handicapped, intellectually handicapped, but all seeing themselves as little special groups. What we want to say is the church needs to see that these various ministries are part of the total ministry.
Well, how do you like the word holistic? That thing is... Well, that's a word that's being used...
Go home, you. Please apologise.
Well, whole, you know, a whole if you want, but it's...
It's not H-O-L.
Anyway, I don't mind if you reject the word, but I'm trying to get a word or two to cover all that you're saying.
A good word, theological, not golf.
That's right. Church needs to see a whole... I love that word holistic because it covers every person. And it also speaks of wholeness. You see, it's everybody to a wholeness. But it's no good as putting in a word that I love if nobody likes it and nobody wants it.
It's a wholesome word.
I was just picking this up. You know, friends, let's realise we have only opened a latchkey. We have only opened a little door. And we are seeing a tremendous work that's there. And it's not going to be easy. And you could easily feel like pulling back when you see the tremendous needs. But there are the apostles for all those groups. And I think they're going to help us if we'll let them get anywhere near us. Yes.
Someone else.
Great. For all. Preschool for all. I think the church could lead it here beautifully. Thank you. Gee, I can hardly wait to get back for some of this. Other things frighten me.
Go forward.
Can I just add to that, 10? One of the thoughts that came out in that, with that thing, I got back and noticed that we didn't have... One of the important parts is if parents die, then in fact these people have a supportive group. And can I also add, right up near the beginning about education, the training of educators, the special educators.
Yes, that's okay. Well, I think we'll put that in. You know, training for educators. I think that's really important. You know, who's going to train the church?
And the other thing we're concerned about, especially in the case of the intellectually handicapped who are unable to speak for themselves, they need a spokesman. Mm. And as we look at the laws governing intellectually handicapped people, they are aware.
They have very little right.
The blind have got an institution that lobby for their rights, but the intellectually handicapped don't have anyone as a spokesman.
Oh, be a spokesman for the intellectually handicapped people. Do you want to put educators in inverted commas? Because I don't want that to be seen as specialists. They can help us, of course. Well, I think we're trying to say that there's all enablers.
The educators.
Well, yes, well, we're not meaning that. We're really meaning the people who get the congregation ready. So are they going to be educated? Well, I've heard wrongly. I've affirmed that, but the one that, where we put that, who is going to train the church? We need people who can speak clearly and are able to really be very empathetic about that congregation who aren't aware of persons who are handicapped. Are we going to try and make them guilty, or are we going to educate? You get what I'm getting at there? It's going to have to be done very, in some ways, gently, firmly, with sensitivity. And I think it's education and I don't think some enablers will feel that that's their role up front. But I suppose, taking John's word, if we all become enablers in the correct way, we all become educators.
Take that on the one hand. Education for the local congregation. And train these educators.
I was thinking more of the people are going to be in a situation where they're teaching. You know, they need help to know how to present.
Yeah.
Because they're... It's a special task, isn't it?
That is. So, training our early 24 up. Was that yours?
Yes.
Oh, well. Now, do you think...
Training RE teachers to the handicapped.
Well, there it is. It's training for RE teachers. I'm sorry. That other thing will come up. Training for RE teachers.
Can we add to spokesmen and intake even to government level?
At all levels, will you say?
Yeah.
Be a spokesman for intellectually handicapped at all levels. At all levels.
And have we got community education anywhere there?
Have we got community education? I think we have a role. Community education. Have we picked up what you said there, Jim?
No.
I think you and I are on this wavelength where if we're going to educate the congregation, there's a lot, it's an attitudinal change that we're after. Now, I think we need to spend time in helping people do this. So do you want to put education of local congregation, re-attitudinal changes needed, family preparation and acceptance? What did you want to put under that?
Family preparation and acceptance.
It's two.
After needed, if you just put in there and train the people to do this. Education of local congregation, attitudinal changes needed.
Dash.
Then. Train the people to do it.
Yes. That's clear, train the people to do it. Now, are we nearly through? Good. Keep going.
A fully equipped interstate coach for disabled people for easy accessibility and also for enablers.
Now say that again, the first line.
A fully equipped interstate coach for disabled people, including wheelies.
Well, I think that's a fully equipped interstate coach for disabled persons. That's really good. And, you know, we'll pick it up that it's for the wheelies and it's for the enablers and so on.
We want one.
Yeah, very good.
Can I make another comment that goes on the end of this is brought up. Can each branch have a goal to provide funds for this?
It'd be marvellous. I tell you, we have had placed in our hands, whilst I was in Western Australia, what Leyland have suggested for the development of a coach that will help us with that. We will be travelling in Great Britain in a coach that's specifically set up for the physically disabled, so I'm hoping to have first-hand use of it so we can evaluate it. But we hope some of you are really going to push us to do something about purchase of a coach. Great. There's one at Mildura. There's no others on the east coast. Eastern of Australia, I've met a person that was set aside by the Commonwealth Government to look at accessibility for handicapped persons in tourism, and she says the only coach in the eastern states is at Mildura. So it's good we've picked that up. She could be a key person in New South Wales.
Ed, we've got 3 4-letter words. The first one is L-O-V-E, with a preparedness to indulge in.
You read it first, so we'll know what we can.
With a preparedness to indulge in hard work.
And where's your four-letter words?
I only said 3 4-letter words.
With. Hard work is underlined.
Good. Luke can start now.
This is our last suggestion. Evaluate goals and aims set at 1980 consultation weekend. That is the extent of our achievements.
That will be really good. Just wait a minute. I'll give this to Lynn. We'll put it all up. Thank you. Now, last year, we prepared a report. And I think if any of you would like that report, in the folder over there that has order of books, if you just put 1980 report and your name and address, we'll be happy to send that out to you so that we'll get it out to you next week. And those of you who have lost it, I'll look up the list and see if we sent it to you. Now, if you've lost it and you'd really like to refresh yourself, we'll be glad to send that out. And we'll be looking at that very carefully.
Training of enablers to further work with handicapped persons within the local parish, and we'd like to emphasise that the training comes from within the parish.
Good. Training of enablers? At parish level. Are you saying from the...
Train them from the parish to work in the
parish. Now that's one of the big things that Jim is really... He does this. He's had about, many, many seminars, and he would encourage us to do this. Have we got... Just a minute, Doris. Have we got that? Are you happy about that parish level for the parish, I think you're saying?
Within the parish.
Yes. Right. Yes, thanks.
To the access one, number four, we'd like access to resources and how to adapt activities to suit handicapped persons.
Good.
One other one that we
yes.
talked about was transport problems for our immediate groups, our chapters at home.
Yes, I think it would be good if we could spend a bit of time on that.
Transport problems for your home groups.
Before you key people go home interstate, I want to meet with you on that and talk with you. Good?
Yes.
Have we needed anyone else?
You just have to be involved in other activities where the social are. It's already well getting
into people. Don't expect them to come to us, go to where they are.
Be involved in their activities, show that we care. It's already well to be wanting to come in. Go there and
be
involved where they are.
Well, say we leave that, and that's when we'll link those together, and we'll try and get a sense.
Then we've got a direct opposite. We must aim to get handicapped people away from the institution where they are normally. If we're going to serve them, then we get them out of their institution rather than running a program at the institution.
You can see Lynette Litvin jumping up and down her chair saying, yes, yes, yes. I think people's hands are flying around. Have we just about come to the end of the reporters? Because we are going to have another chance of bombarding, yes? Well, wait a minute. We will come back till the writer's ready. Be involved where they are.
Away from
the institution. So that 33 goes up here.
Poor little kids.
Did you see that look? Was that pity or love? sorry. You know, come back to number 7, Jane, saying something.
I just wonder what we have written there on 27. That's sufficient enough to imply that we meet every single committee, and also including, like, being able to be an elder of the church or to take down a collection plate or whatever.
So if we put every, that will alert it, and
we,
you know.
Perhaps if we do cite a couple of examples like eldership and collection rights.
Good. We have an elder, haven't we? But you were, you. That's fine.
Establishing a cassette library for tapes of personal devotional materials for use by visually impaired and intellectually handicapped persons.
Yes, that's great. And I think you've said it, and you might be part of letting it happen. It's a very exciting thing to be in Victoria and find the resources of the Scripture Union that's available to this ministry. It is really exciting.
We have said we value Jim Pearson's visit. So that this group suggested other resource people like Jim Pearson, but not necessarily exactly with the same disciplines, could come to Australia. And as a corollary to that, the National Director of Australia, Crossroads, to go overseas for learning and sharing.
Are you happy about that cassette library? I think you might need a qualification there. Yes. Yes. Do you know that if you have a doctor's certificate, a Bible Society will supply books that's worth about $160 for
$7. $80, and I've got $7. I've got the New English Bible.
Now, just a minute.
We may not all know about this wonderful thing.
By the Bible Society. When you're giving to the Bible Society, you know that you're giving to these sort of things. If you can read Braille, it's a very nice thing to have. She wanted it in Braille. Then another blind lady wanted the St. James Version on tape. And I got that for $7. All I had to provide was her name and pension number. It wasn't a doctor's certificate. And then another lady wanted another one. I got a New English one and a full Bible. And then I have a lot of other cassettes on all manner of things, and you can get it on your pension number and name, which you couldn't even buy on your library.
Now, we have got that in the resource centre of Crossroads, provided by the British and Foreign Bible Society, and we're thrilled to get people to view it. Yes?
All those things for the blind go through the mail. That's right.
Great.
Yes. It sounds like there's a need for coordination so that all this availability of material is widely.
I'm sure that's the. I think we should. Has anyone in their groups got cataloguing of resources? That's going to come, isn't it? Because that's what we really need. Are there any branch leaders here who had a visit from a key person from the BNF? Because we did affirm him and said, please call. But I can see we need, that's education, isn't it, that we really need. A lot of hands went up then. Yes, Lynette?
I'm not sure when we're going to talk about it. Hang on a minute.
Sorry. 7. British and Foreign Bible Society. Oh, it's not that now, is it? Shows the age I am. Bible Society.
Bible Society in Australia.
Good.
Yeah.
the one I'm not sure whether we've covered, and I want to add one to 20, one up top, but have we covered asking the handicapped people themselves how they feel and what they want and what they need?
That's very good.
And the one I want to comment on is number, where is it? 20, on, be a spokesperson for intellectual handicap at all levels. 25. Why should that be narrowed to intellectually handicapped? I think we have many physically handicapped as well, and others that can't speak for themselves.
Yes, in answering that, I think that Sarah, her group mentioned that they do seem, because of their intellectual ability, they do seem to have spokesmen, whereas the intellectually handicapped people, in themselves, need somebody on their behalf.
We just saw the church as being a force in that area,
yes,
on all behalves.
So do you want to put all behalves and especially
the intellectually handicapped? Yes.
You want to say that? Yeah, it does.
Good.
Yes.
To take up one of Gordon's points before, Jim was saying that in the States, all building regulations now require that there will be access to buildings for handicapped people. And this is law, so that you just can't put up a building that doesn't have access.
Yes, right. Yes. Our architect, what is it?
Just a minute, qualified on this.
Listen.
I just qualify what was said.
Sam.
By saying that our own Queensland Building Act, and I can't speak for the acts that are in force in the other states, but the Queensland Building Act has a proviso that all public buildings shall be made accessible.
But it's not retrospective, is it? Yet?
No, it's not.
Now that's where I think the big difference is in the American scene.
Right.
But it's good to know that information, and
yeah,
we know that there are still groups that try and get around it.
Well, there are those of us who are involved who are sort of keeping an eye on what's going on.
Yes, I saw some work going on in Sydney at the heart of a very big church complex where they're refurbishing the chapel, and there's still no They're aware, but they don't. It seemed to me that they didn't have to give access, and
right,
I thought that was really sad.
Right. Could I just make a point on the same subject matter, that we've been talking a lot about resources, cataloguing of different resources that we've got available, and the sort of the provision of cassette libraries and things. We really need a compilation of the people resources and the talents that we've got. We've got a lot of different professional people represented here, and a lot of those people aren't here. And if there can be a bank somewhere that lets everybody know the talents that people have and the professional talents that they have, it might be a really valuable resource.
Yes. So coordinate people resources. Is that what you're saying? Good. Yes. Anything further? Hasn't it been exciting? Yes.
In our growth, we have to be careful that we don't overlap in ministries.
Duplicate.
Now, how do we? That in good consultation, we'd be really. It's not just letting the church know, it's making sure you don't do things in isolation, isn't it, really?
Yes, isn't it consultation at all levels?
And that will avoid duplication. Consultation at all levels to avoid duplication. Yes, that's really good. And it's really great. A little illustration is that now Beth Bunn still with us?
No, she went home.
Beth is working in the special caring division, and we are trying our very best to at all times let them know where we're at. We try to keep in, someone asked me, did we know about Faith and Light in Queensland? And I was able to assure them that we endeavour to keep in contact with the group in the Catholic stream. And I think where you see those weaknesses, you remind us.
At all, it was not in order.
Yes, anything else? Do you want another one?
Can I?
Yes.
Hang on. Yeah, I think it sort of fits in with that. It's just that looking at all these increased ministries, such as one to the preschoolers, etc., etc., and some of the, not complaints, but the problems with lack of enablers and transport and things like that, I think there needs to be more contact with other denominations in that area, not just the Uniting Church Parish, keeping in mind that a lot of the active members are already involved in other ministries and they can't do everything. But contacting the other churches in that area a lot more as the ministries grow.
I think we've put that right there. Contacting all denominations a lot more. Just put that. Yes. Oh, yes. I think, yes.
We have an incremental hearing movement now, not only now.
Yes.
And there are 15 churches, and that takes 7 countries north.
Yeah.
And we've got 30 groups attached to it, and the chairs, and it doesn't matter whether it's your church or somebody else, when people ring up or a hospital is at the hospital in our area, we go and help. Such as a woman came to the hospital and had 2 children with her, was admitted, had to go and look after those children, another woman was admitted quickly, and all these sorts of things this international caring group do, as well as our own local church. These are springing up everywhere.
Well, did you got that information, didn't you? Are my comments being... are they on... It's on this. Good.
Can I make a little comment?
Yes, Cheryl.
Just on what you were saying there about the other denominations, I'd like to say this, just to add this to this consultation. Over the last year, more and more of other denominations, of which I'm one...
one are you, Shirley?
I don't know, I'm telling you, don't worry about that.
I do.
Yeah, but what I'm feeling is that more and more Crossroads is becoming known, and the other denominations are now, when they think handicapped people, are thinking Crossroads. Now, that is good, because eventually, as we say, we want to get to the place where Crossroads fades out and the local church takes over. But in the meantime, we're here to support them while they're thinking through their process. And we are being asked more and more by the other denominations, instead of them starting a little thing up on their own, they will come and say, hey, come and talk to us about Crossroads. That's happening all the time,
it's
and
exciting.
I'm thrilled about that.
Yes, Wilma?
A report of this meeting to all the various churches in the city?
Yes. First of all, it goes to all the people who attend and have registered. Then it will definitely go to the head of every church's division of Christian education. It will also go to the key person, like if it's the archbishop, if it's the head of the president of the Lutheran church, and so forth, and the moderator.
And the Baptist church.
That's really great. Yes.
I'd like to say one thing that I found difficulty with, and that is toilets. I had a son who's handicapped who couldn't attend to himself. I have stood such abuse from women. What is he doing in a lady's toilet? Well, I was a trained nurse, so I didn't care going into a male toilet, but I mean to say, what man's going to know? I'm a trained nurse and doesn't know that. But as far as I know, McDonald and East are the only people in Brisbane who have a boys' toilet where a mother can go in. And this is something that is shocking and that should be taken into consideration. Not even the airport do they have a toilet that a mother can take a son. And although my son's 33, well, that doesn't mean that he can undo buttons and all the rest to attend to himself.
It's going to be a disabled person.
Yes.
Yeah, now I think we've heard further than that, Gordon. You see, we are seeing the toilets for the disabled, but what we're hearing here is that if there is the opposite sex the only person to care for. Now, I don't know how we have it.
A separate toilet.
Yeah.
A separate one.
Well, the wheelies.
Good. Good.
Yeah.
Yes. But what if a male and female went into that at the same time?
Yes,
understanding?
The wheelie one, you can do that.
Good.
The wheelie one, you
good.
Can do.
Righto. Well, what do you just want to put? I think if we just highlight toilets, that wouldn't be all that you have said.
No,
there's attitudes, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So access to toilets. I don't think it covers it all, but.
And it's no good if a person in a wheelchair can get into the toilet and they can't get out.
Yeah, the door swings the wrong way.
Many of them because of the door swings.
If we put the access, I think we understand that. Righto, now look, really, we only have another 2 minutes to do our reporting, and then whilst dinner is on, well, I had hoped that we might have been able to have done some grouping. I've got 9:30 in my mind tonight. Could we go, now how many more people have any ideas? Just hands up. If we can get those ideas up, I think that what we'll do is that we will do some grouping quietly here, then you'll all come back and you'll quietly look at it. And any comment that you want to make to change those groupings, that'll be a help. All right? And it'll be out of that grouping that we move to our next exercise. So let's hear the another.
Could a study group go to America to study under Jim with the proviso that they know that if they go, when they come back again, they've got to put into practice what they learn?
Ask Crossroads to arrange a study group under Professor Jim Pearson. Well, we look at the costing and all that, eh? And I think you have also said that you want to share this back. Now, need we say that? To share back with the Australian Church?
Yes, because I don't think it is fair to Jim that we go over there and sit under him and his organisation for a month, come back and sit on a button and do nothing.
Righto, yes?
Yeah. And not, well, it's the same kind of thing that we do here, it's maybe a different idea. And he's put in special extra input under the Crossroads sort of idea, which you wouldn't get from just sitting under him in America.
Except that he is the consultant, not only to the Johnson Bible College, but to the Standard Press for Christian Education with Handicapped Persons. So I would have taken it to have been that. And I think his response would be that we would not need a month. I think he would do a tremendous amount in 1 week. And then he would set us loose to go look at some of the things. I think he's had 650 consultations with the various denominations through America. So that he very likely would set up, I think that he would set up something for 2 weeks that would be very, very informative. So I think we'll take the point. And also realise that it is not his Monday to Friday work, except that it'll be very wonderful to look at it.
Okay, Matt. I have already mentioned this to Jim.
Go top. Righto. Oh, you can't get top. Shirley's top.
Oh, that's all right. I'll go bottom. He's excited about it, and he says, if you go over there, please, let me arrange it.
Yes, good. Thank you. And also, next year is the World Fair at Knoxville. He happens to live there. Now, anything...
Yes.
I've never seen it so excited. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, I guess this is in the backs of all of our minds as we're looking at this, but we must keep our eyes on Jesus to prevent Crossroads from becoming just a do-good organisation.
Or to worship Crossroads. Jesus is Lord. Will we really put that?
Yes.
Jesus.
That's why number 4 got access to the gospel and access to the right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yes. So I think... Well, okay, we'll get the combination. Yes?
There's one up there on chaplaincy to... Number 17. To liaise with the workers in the institutions. We've got down here chaplaincy to workshops and institutions and geriatrics.
Right, well, that kind of workshops.
Yeah, but this is the people in the workshop. Yeah.
We'll put it there, and if it comes up twice, we'll see it. Chaplaincy. God.
And then outreach to the 3 to 16 year olds, yes. Handicapped persons.
Chaplaincy is a workshop, and geriatrics. I think. The age, I think. Now, what was that? What was the other thing that we've missed there? 43. 3 to 16 year old. That'll do it. Quickly, yes, Des.
I just want to make a comment in regard to the building at the IYDP Regional Subcommittee of the Darling Downs area had a seminar a couple of months ago in which on the access problem, in which a discussion group took place in the afternoon, and from that discussion group a number of recommendations were unanimously accepted, in which the process of it will be going to various bodies, governmental and community-wide bodies, for their consideration, as well as to be processed by the State Planning Committee of the IYDP.
Good. So you've sent your findings on to be effective. Right. Thank you, Des. Thanks, guys.
Number 36, I think it is. Yes, ask for handicapped persons what they want. Someone said, how they feel. In our group, it was a 2-2 situation, so we did this, and this is what they told us: the disabled want to be really part of worship, not just a looker on. And second point, would like a Sunday afternoon worship service, mainly, but not specially. Exclusively for the disabled, somewhere centrally, perhaps Munro Street, perhaps not. Just put that in.
Well, let's put it. 44 over here.
Here
we go. I'll hold you. Yeah, all right. Yes, perhaps that'll be better. So, Grace, you're saying special afternoon service for the disabled, for example, Munro Street. Just say that. Because people from Victoria and others, well, they'll know they can't all come there. Now, who else? Yes? I know. Yeah, well, let's pick this up. I think it was, yeah, my response was at a different level there, that I thought that we really, where you were situating it very close to worship, there was a normalisation there. That to me has a lot of problems, but it's a suggestion that we're going to do something with it. All this, you know, because they're up there doesn't mean it's all going to happen. I mean, a lot of it will. Okay.
Ed, could I just suggest a simple alteration? Afternoon service, special afternoon service to enable disabled person to participate. That would mean especially for them, but there could be able-bodied and disabled people all together.
Yes, but I think that
might be the time.
I think you're going to find that a lot of our friends are going to say they don't want that. But do you want us not to put it up?
Put it up,
because I think there could be. You know, Jim does know a church where they have that special kind of service, and in that community, it is acceptable. So I think we've got to be just careful that we don't knock it.
Oh, yes.
I think some of our
I'm a bit worried that I may have knocked Jane there, but I hope I haven't on that other thing we were talking about.
I think a lot of congregations could well benefit by getting away from the four-hymn sandwich, too. When Crossroads International gets going on a national basis, it doesn't need to be finance intensive. We saw that this could be an avenue for volunteer contributions where the parishes can feed into this rather than relying on paid staff.
I wonder if you'd like to qualify that, Jim. Are we adding anything to that, or are you qualifying that? Or do you want to say another thing?
Qualifying that one.
So let's qualify that, and let's hear what you said. I've heard most of it, but I want to hear it. Would you just
encourage voluntary participation in the national body?
Oh, yes, I see what you mean. I like the board or the advisory board. Like, that'd just be a lot of...
Like the Western Australian, system where...
Yes.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Well, I think we should write it in. Is it looking at volunteerism? Yes. Good.
Some national organisations in Australia have been operating ever since their beginning, which is more than 30 years, with an honorary executive director.
Yes.
And there's been no fully paid staff at the national level. And it's almost impossible perhaps to get one person to do it, but it can be a combination of two or three people. It doesn't necessarily mean that we've got to get $20,000 a year or something to have a national secretariat.
Good. Thank you. Yep.
Of the close on 600 volunteers that we do have, only 86 of them are Uniting Church.
Good.
The rest are either other denominations or from the community.
Is there any person paid in that whole system?
The only person is Zoe. She's paid an honorary of $20, and that was the choice of Mount Lawley when they started that first in, and she's the only one apart from myself.
Good.